Hello, this is Shadow Entity Wizard of Transatlantic Rage from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on the UHO Project. The five songs that I'm going to be playing from the Hobo Jazz albums are the albums Hobo Jazz Volume 1 and Volume 2. Atuba, Atuba Tuba, Transducer, Mellow Cool, those are from Volume 1. Terry Tuba Has Hesitant Loose Laces, and Bent Slants of Woody Heumann's Oil Boil. I would like to thank the UHO Project for having Transatlantic Rage on to host five songs from this album. I would also like to thank Andre of Turbini Carpus Records in the Ukraine for releasing Hobo Jazz Volume 1 and 2, and packaging an amazing DIY handcrafted album. It's amazing, it really is. I'm blown away by the packaging of this album. I would like to first tell a little backstory of how Hobo Jazz came about. It started about, offhand the date or the year. It might have been 1996 or 1997. My girlfriend and I at the time, well, she's my wife now, we were in college, and for art class, we went up to New York City for an art class field trip. So the class took a trip up to New York City to visit one of the major museums up there. I can't remember offhand what it was. We walked around a museum and everything like that, and it really didn't catch like a big interest for me, because it was a lot of paintings and art from like the 14th, 15th, 16th century, and it was just a lot of portrait paintings and or art I wasn't really into. I was mainly into like surrealism and abstract art and, you know, kind of crazy type of art, and it just really didn't interest me being up there. I mean, don't get me wrong, the paintings and the art that were in this museum were unbelievably amazing, but it just didn't appeal to me. So we decided to skip out on the museum tour after maybe half an hour. So we decided to walk all the way from the Central Park area all the way down to the Twin Towers. We went up to the top, and this was shortly after the first bombing that failed of the Twin Towers, so it was kind of eerie being up there. We stayed up there, it was pretty cool. After that, we started to head back up to the museum. We walked through Soho. We decided to take a subway back. I think we started to go in the wrong direction when we first got on, and then we hopped off. While we were down there, waiting to get back onto the subway, there was a band playing there, a jazz band. It was kind of like in a dark, isolated area of the subway where it seemed like not a lot of people went or traveled. It kind of struck me that this band, it was like a, you know, freestyle, improv, abstract jazz band, just kind of blaring noise, just making a lot of cool sounds. They seem homeless or kind of down on their luck in a way, but I don't know if they were street musicians or artists or something like that, but it kind of struck me the passion that they played with, and it was just kind of like a moment in my life where I was just starting to get into music. Just really struck me, the passion that they played with down in the subway where it just seemed like no one went. And I kind of like that. Just seemed surreal and kind of amazing in my opinion, that it really didn't matter to them, you know, playing down in underground in a subway where no one really saw them. or up in some type of square up in the city where everybody gets to see him. I kind of like that aspect and angle of that whole experience that I saw. So when I got home after the trip, I wrote a poem about it. Maybe one day I'll post it up on the Transatlantic Rage blog. I'm going to start the first song. It's called Atuba, Atuba, Tuba. And this song has samples from Charles Mingus, my favorite jazz artist.
Called Old America. Atuba. Atuba, Atuba, Atuba. Time there was a holding corporation.
Once upon a time, there was a holding corporation.
was the song A Tuba, A Tuba, Tuba. Hobo Jazz Volume 1 was written in the fall of 2008. I really didn't focus on writing that whole album all the way through. I was working on other albums while I was working on that album. It took about maybe 4 or 5 months to finally complete that album. Volume 2, I wrote in about 2 weeks. It went pretty fast. Originally, Hobo Jazz Volume 1 was just going to be one album. And after I was done with it, I really liked the idea of maybe making volumes of Hobo Jazz and maybe having an infinite amount of volumes. I mean, I could just go on this volume type idea forever, I was thinking. So that's the plans I have of right now for the Hobo Jazz. It's one of my favorite projects that I've done, or favorite albums so far. Here's a second song that I'm going to play from Hobo Jazz Volume 1. It's called Transducer. Transducer.
Thank you.
That was Transducer. This is Shadow Entity Wizard of Transatlantic Rage on the UHO Project. Websites for Transatlantic Rage, it's www.myspace.com/Transatlantic Rage. And for Turbini Carpus Records, it's www.myspace.com/Turbini Carpus. Tobo Jazz Volume 1, one of the things I was debating about was putting samples into the songs, because I thought the songs by itself without the samples were pretty solid, and I thought they were very good and they held their own. But I decided to put some samples in to see how it sounds, and I'm thinking, wow, this is actually making the songs a lot better, adding more depth and character and emotion to the songs. So I'm thinking, wow, you know, I really like this a lot. I like where it's going. So I kept them in, and I thought it overall, the whole album turned out really well with the samples in it. And with Volume 2, I wanted to do the exact opposite of Volume 1 and not putting any samples in. I added a couple lyrics for two songs in Volume 2. I really just wanted to make it an instrumental album, kind of like natural jazz type album. For Volume 1, the samples I used were samples from Billie Holiday. Not so much the voice of Billie Holiday, but the host that was hosting a live concert of Billie Holiday. The album was called Jazz at the Philharmonic. For the Charles Mingus CD, the album was called Charles Mingus at UCLA 1965. And I used a lot of his dialogue and talking in between the song sets. And I thought it was kind of unique, along with the Billie Holiday Philharmonic CD. I thought the dialogue was pretty cool, and that kind of led me to use some of the samples from the movie The Birds, because I listened to that dialogue of that movie so many times and I thought it was so unique. And I also incorporated samples from the movie The Birds in the last song on Hobo Jazz Volume 1. The samples of Charles Mingus I used was kind of like an ode to Charles Mingus, because he's my favorite jazz artist to this point. I've listened to a lot of jazz, and there's no one out there like Charles Mingus. I was introduced to Charles Mingus about 7 years ago out at recording school out in Phoenix, Arizona. One of the teachers brought up Charles Mingus in one of the class sessions. He suggested to go out and buy Charles Mingus albums. I went out and did it, and the first time I popped that CD into the car stereo, I was absolutely blown away by Charles Mingus. It seemed like his music was animated, and it was just such a mind-blowing musical experience for me that just kind of propelled me into the direction that I'm going in now. This next song I would like to play is called Mellow Cool, and my homeboy Big Peen plays guitar on the song. And I think it adds so much to the song, a lot of emotion to the song, along with the samples from Billie Holiday.
A man jazz rhythms.
Song was called Mellow Cool. Well, hobo jazz was a slow evolving process over probably a decade and a half before it probably came to be. Just going through a lot of experiences, I was into a lot of different type of music, metal and grunge and punk and just a lot of different styles of music. And I just slowly but surely got into jazz. I think it's one of my natural type genres of music that I think really come easy for me. So I'm really starting to experiment with jazz a lot in a lot of the projects I do. With hobo jazz, I really started to think in the beginning of hobo jazz that I really wanted to make this like a cartoony, animated, surreal, abstract type jazz album or sets of albums. I really wanted to take a lot of the old school aspects of jazz, which I listen to a lot of. I really don't listen to a lot of new school jazz as much. Artists like Charles Mingus, Miles Davis, Dave Brubeck, Charlie Parker, Thelonious Monk, John Coltrane, Herbie Hancock, Billie Holiday, Jimmy Smith, Wes Washington, Jelly Roll Morton, Trevor Dunn, well, he's new school, John Zorn, a lot of artists on Zadok Records are big influences in jazz for me. one of the aspects that I kind of take approach to a lot of the music in Transatlantic Rage is really not following any types of patterns or time signatures or set way of writing music, like verse, chorus, intros, bridges, and outros. I kind of mix them up and just see how they come about, and I think it comes out in a really interesting way. I get kind of bored with, your everyday 4-4 timings and your simple timings. I know you can mess with the different simple timings and everything like that to make them interesting, but I like 3-4 and 2-2 and time signatures like that, and the odd type of time signatures I really like to delve into. More than anything, I really like to bend and manipulate and kind of just like mold songs just in any type of pattern that really comes to me at that time. I'm really not out there trying to think of a certain style that I want to write or a certain direction that I want to go in. I just kind of go with the flow with things, and I really don't have any limitations on writing. I just kind of bring it all in through my mind and through my emotions, and really not to compare the music I'm writing to music that is have already been written and or the standard that it should be in. You know, it should follow a certain pattern or a certain sound or a certain instrument combinations. To me, I throw all that out the window and just kind of go with interesting combinations, either if it's instrument combinations or signatures or song structure. So I'm kind of free flow with the whole writing aspect of that. One of the other things I wanted to incorporate, and probably always will incorporate in the Hobo Jazz volumes, are different instruments. On volume 2, I used a lot of different instruments compared to volume 1. On volume 2, I used a farfisa type instrument. It's like an organ. I thought it had a unique sound. I also used a different drum set on volume 2. A lot of different percussive cymbals and blocks that jazz percussionists use, I added to this album. One of the instruments that I incorporated in volume 2 was the tuba. And at first, I was kind of hesitant in incorporating was the tuba, and I was really kind of debating whether I wanted to add it or not, because I wanted to add different types of instruments to volume 2 that I didn't use in volume 1. The tuba really turned out kind of cool. It surprised me more than I first anticipated. I really didn't think it would have that much versatility as an instrument, but I thought it added a lot of character that could be expressive if it's used in the right way. I think it really shows in this song that I'm going to play for you right now. It's called Terry Tuba Has Hesitant Loose Laces. Thank you. shadow entity wizard of Transatlantic Rage on the UHA project. That was Terry Tuba, has Hesitant Loose Laces from Hobo Jazz Volume 2. With Volume 2, I really wanted to add more intricate brass sections, really kind of more trickier and catchier, more complex brass sections in Volume 2, and just kind of make it a more fuller type album to Volume 1. It might not be as catchy and listener friendly as Volume 1. I really like Volume 2 in more aspects than Volume 1, in the sense that I think it's kind of more of a more mature type, intricate and complex album compared to Volume 1. Volume 1 has a lot of catchy samples and rhythms and melodies. Not that Volume 2 doesn't. I really see a difference in Volume 1 and Volume 2 in those aspects. And I'm glad they're different in those aspects. And that's one of the ideas I was going for. Not one is, you know, better than the other. You know, it all depends on your taste as a listener too, on which one you like more. So I like both all in different types of ways. So this next song is called Bent Slants of Woody Hyman's Oil Boil. This is one of my favorite songs on Volume 2, mainly because of the unique rhythm and time signature and the complex brass patterns, kind of like a simple, mellow piano melody over top of it. I really like it a lot for those aspects. Enjoy Bent Slants of Woody Hyman's Oil Boil. Oil Boil. Foil Boil. Was Ben Slant of Woody Hoyman's Oil Boil. Well, that pretty much wraps the Hobo Jazz session up. I hope you enjoyed the songs. Before I sign off, I would like to thank the UHO Project for having Transatlantic Rage on. And you could download Hobo Jazz Volume 1 and 2 and buy the CDs at myspace.com/TurbiniCarpus. And you could also download Hobo Jazz Volume 1 and 2 at myspace.com/TransAtlanticRage. And those downloads are for free. And the handmade CDs you could purchase through the Turbini Carpus website for $5. This is Shadow Entity Wizard of Transatlantic Rage on the UHO Project. Peace out, boys and girls. Peace out, boys and girls. Peace out, boys and girls. Peace out.